all these Bitcoin treasury companies are, you know, every once in a while you hear they bought X amount of Bitcoin. Where is that Bitcoin?
Individuals who are investing or giving money to these companies to buy Bitcoin need to understand that you're buying a speculative asset. You're not buying the sound money that we think is going to change the world.
If they do mine Bitcoin, where will it end up? You know, it's unlikely probably to end up in the hands of people who really need it, right? It's going to end up in the hands of politicians and authority figures.
Do you have any idea how f***ing retarded you have to be to price a banana at $6 million, tape a piece of garbage and sell it? And worse, have somebody actually pay $6 million for it?
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony here with me. Gentlemen, we got a lot of news to cover. We're going to cover a more of a topical piece to begin. We are going to talk about all of these treasuries, these Bitcoin treasuries that companies are spinning up. And I want to kick this off. I'm going to give my thoughts because I think there are going to be things that you guys agree with, things that you disagree with. And I want to hear, you know, I want to hear a little bit of banter. So first and foremost, my belief is that companies have every right to adopt a Bitcoin strategy, strategic reserve, you know, hold it as an asset. I think we probably all agree on that. It's a free market. And I think that companies adopting Bitcoin is a good thing. Like, it's not just bullish for Bitcoin's price, but I think it's important that as much of this movement as we can have from, you know, individuals, families, even up to companies, I think that's a positive development. Where I have an issue is, I think maybe it's philosophical, maybe it's sort of an ethical thing, is that if I ran a company, the only way I could do that and take a Bitcoin, you know, strategy and do so in good faith would be to use, you know, positive cash flow coming in to buy Bitcoin and to accept Bitcoin or to convert existing reserves directly into Bitcoin. I think where I have an issue, and again, this is probably more philosophical or ethical, is issuing debt and having people buy my company, you know, or give me money to buy Bitcoin, not on their behalf, but just in place of them actually buying Bitcoin. And I think my concern is there are some people who understand what they're doing and they're speculating, right? And like, that's fine if you want to speculate. There are a lot of people who incorrectly and partially because of the marketing believe that this is somehow a Bitcoin play. Right? Like they're somehow buying Bitcoin or they're doing Bitcoin when really they're just buying equity or they're buying debt in a company that happens to be purchasing Bitcoin, which are two very different things, right? And Rick, I think you said it best, and maybe it was on last banter, we were touching on this with someone, is that you're here to accumulate the money. So like even if MicroStrategy or, you know, name the company, the investors in that equity are going to outperform you. That's not the point. You've never been a speculator. That wasn't your goal. Your goal is to accumulate as much of the best sound money, not to optimize for fiat gains. It's all of the other attributes besides number go up Bitcoin. So that's a long-winded way of kind of giving you guys my perspective. I think it's great that corporations are here. Awesome. I don't love the way that they're going about it. I think people need to be individuals who are investing or giving money to these companies to buy Bitcoin need to understand that you're buying a speculative asset. You're not buying the sound money that we think is going to change the world. So, Tony, I'm going to let you take this one first. Give me your thoughts. What did I miss? Was that, you know, where's your head on all this?
No, I agree with everything that she said. I mean, philosophically, I mean, there's no such thing as bad advertising for Bitcoin, right? I mean, the more people adopt it, it's good. There's no bad news in that sense. The problem with that is that this Bitcoin treasury thing seems to be like, like weeds. Every 2 days, there's a new one that pops out. You know, these companies that, you know, no one's ever heard of before, now all of a sudden are stacking sats, you know, because now, you know, They're part of the bright orange future, supposedly, you know, from one day to the next. My issue with this is that there's a lot of ignorance in the market. These people, yeah, okay, you know, they're talking about Bitcoin using it as a buzzword. But first of all, are they genuine believers in what Bitcoin is? Do they even understand what it is? Are they all of a sudden pro-decentralization and sovereignty? Or are they just using this to push a product, you know, so that they can pump their own bags and dump it on unknowing retail? You know, there's that you can't deny. The other thing is that all these Bitcoin treasury companies are, you know, every once in a while you hear they bought X amount of Bitcoin. Where is that Bitcoin? Without proof of reserves, as far as I'm concerned, there is no Bitcoin, because they're coming out of the woodwork. You know, every once in a while you hear about a company. Give it a few months. If you sum up all the Bitcoin that all these Bitcoin treasuries have supposedly bought, you'll probably surpass 21 million. So what does that tell you? It tells you that all of them, like some of them, are full of shit and are dealing with paper Bitcoin. So I wouldn't trust any single one of them that doesn't put out a proof of reserves. And even if they did, like you said, Michael, you're not buying Bitcoin when you engage with these companies. You're buying their stock, a fiat stock prone to the same regulations, the same taxes, the same nonsense, the same headaches of any other stock. So what have you done? You've done absolutely nothing Bitcoin specific. The shortest road, the shortest point between you and Bitcoin is to go buy it, withdraw it, and hold it yourself in self-custody. You don't need any proxy when it comes to that. So trying to, you know, integrate these financial games, these TradFi games into Bitcoin will likely end very poorly for most people. So unless you really know what you're doing, take the intelligent approach and just go buy your Bitcoin, learn how to hold it yourself, and you'll see how quickly your life changes for the better.
I think that's well said. I think I'm less cynical than you on whether or not these companies understand Bitcoin. Like, I think Dylan LeClaire, I think Michael Saylor, I think they understand Bitcoin. We might have a different perspective and we could talk about
some
that.
Some of them do. Most of them won't.
Yeah, but let's assume, Tony, for a moment that they are buying real Bitcoin and like maybe they have proof of reserves, even if they're not sharing it publicly. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt for a moment. And I'm not suggesting that that's necessarily the case. I have no idea. But assuming that they're buying real Bitcoin, they seem to understand it enough, at least the thesis on Bitcoin, that it's going to go up in value and that they should, like if I owned a small company and I wasn't a publicly traded firm, but just owned a little company, I would want Bitcoin on my balance sheet, right? So like if they're buying Bitcoin, to me, it indicates some level of understanding as to the Bitcoin thesis and why as a company you should hold Bitcoin. My issue is not that they are, you know, necessarily intentionally scamming people. Although I will say that I think, again, the marketing of this, like it is, it's like suddenly there is kind of a second best or maybe even a first best. And it's not Bitcoin in self-custody. It's, you know, buy my stock or, you know, let me issue debt and, you know, you pay for me to accumulate Bitcoin. And that's why I have maybe like an ethical issue with, it's not to say that Michael Saylor is unethical or, you know, anyone who's doing this is unethical. I don't think it's a line that I would want to cross. I would just rather buy it because I'm a profitable business. You know, take my existing reserves, as I said, move that into Bitcoin, and then accept Bitcoin as payment if I really think it's so valuable. I understand, though, too, that Michael Saylor is like, how can I optimize to get the most Bitcoin possible for my financial, you know, as an economic perspective? I like he's making the right decision, but that excludes a lot of other considerations that I would have to have.
You're a company buying Bitcoin? Show me the money.
I don't disagree with that. But if investors in the business don't care about proof of reserves, like he hasn't shown proof, like Michael Saylor hasn't shown proof of reserves, and tons of people are still buying the stock, buying the debt, all that stuff, that is a contractual agreement between that investor and Michael Saylor. If they don't care about proof of reserves, which they should, if they don't though, then they're going to have to pay the price and find out that they don't have all the Bitcoin.
FTX, Gemini, Celsius, they also had contractual obligations. And what happened to those?
No, I agree, but also different situations. FTX was selling Bitcoin that they didn't have. Michael Saylor, you understand, when Michael Saylor says, I'm not going to show proof of reserves, you have, as an investor, you get to decide, do I care that he's not showing proof of reserves? When you buy Bitcoin from FTX, the assumption is that I can withdraw that Bitcoin. And he wasn't able to deliver on that promise. Michael Saylor is saying, I'm buying the Bitcoin. It's a trust, don't verify situation. If you agree that he doesn't have to show proof of reserves to you, which is why I think proof of reserves are important and people should stay away from the stuff.
Agreed.
I think we generally agree on that. Yeah. Rick,
Yeah. All very, very interesting. I just don't buy shit coins, man. Like, not interested. Don't buy shit coins. Like, you could write me a really long thesis about like all the ways that maybe it makes sense to let someone else hold my money and why I buy a fiat denominated piece of paper that some guy, because he's doing something with Bitcoin, and maybe that bit of paper is going to be worth more, and maybe it outperforms Bitcoin. I couldn't be less interested. It reeks of fiat, and I'll explain why, right? So for me, you know, there was a UK company recently that came out called Smarter Web Company, right? And they've launched one of these Bitcoin treasury reserves, and, you know, like, now their stock is pumping, and like the returns have been 2,000% or whatever in short order, and everyone's getting real excited out there. But look, for me, if I'm going to invest in a company, right, it's because I like believe in their product, or I believe in the service that they're providing, right? I invest in a company that I think is going to, you know, affect the world in a positive way and provide something that people want, and therefore when they deploy capital, they're going to generate a positive return, and I'm going to be able to enjoy part of that success. That is not what is happening here, right? Like, does anybody know what the Smarter Web Company does? Well, I had a little look at them, right? Like, I used to run a digital agency back in the day, and yeah, they make websites, very nice. I'm sure they make really nice websites as well, but, you know, I also get on some other weird rabbit holes, and I'm looking at AI spitting out brand new websites in 3 minutes, and they look, you know, they're not perfect, right? But they're not too bad. And I'm thinking, well, would I be bullish? Like, take the Bitcoin element out of this whole discussion. Would I be desperate to invest in this company for any other reason? And it's almost certainly no, right? So let's ignore the fact that some people's money is locked up in pensions for a minute. And let's just say you had a clear choice between Bitcoin or investing in this company. Well, if you're investing in the company because it's going to buy Bitcoin, the question has got to be, why don't you just cut the middleman out and go and buy it yourself, right? Now, the only reason you might not cut the middleman out is because for whatever reason, you think this piece of paper in the middle is going to provide you a better return than the route that's most direct, right? Now, this is only really true if everybody else believes it as well at the same time, right? And currently, with all of this hoo-ha, it would seem that the market is saying that most people, rightly or wrongly, I don't know, but most people believe that these pieces of paper will outperform Bitcoin in at least the near term. So, you know, here's the thing, though. In my entire experience with Bitcoin, everything goes to zero against Bitcoin. And I think there's a very real reason that happens, and that's because Bitcoin is the denominator. It is the measurement of value itself. So I don't know over what time horizon or what scale all of these treasury company shares will go to zero against Bitcoin as well. Now, look, you might make a killing in the short term. Who knows? I'm really not that interested. But I think it's a risky play. And all right, a bit of risk, you know, gives you a bit of reward sometimes. But man, look, I think there's a growing population of people now that, look, if you told me you had 95% of your money in Bitcoin and you played around with a few stocks, right? I'm not going to fall off my chair and start losing sleep over that. But I think there's a growing population of people who are just buying these Bitcoin proxy stocks, and they haven't learned how to self-custody their Bitcoin. They haven't learned how to take any money completely off the table, like off the table, away from all these hands that want to grab and take your wealth away. So, and I think there are some second order effects that I don't love as well, which is, you know, everyone talks about it like it's a speculative attack on the dollar using cheap debt to go and buy Bitcoin. Well, like Tony said, you're not getting hold of any of that Bitcoin just for holding the paper. And what it really is kind of like a speculative. I heard someone on Twitter say this. I thought it was beautiful. They said it's not a speculative attack on the dollar. It's a speculative attack on self-custody. And I tend to agree with that, because it's really pushing this narrative of like, don't use your Bitcoin as money. It's just collateral. So yeah, look, I'm not interested in it at all. Not when Bitcoin exists, right? Like before Bitcoin, maybe I try and make money in the stock market because my money's dying. I get that. But with Bitcoin, I've got guaranteed success, like staring at me, like be disciplined, save your money in it, 5-10 years time, just not being an ass, and you'll be just fine, Rick. And I'm like, do you know what? I love that. That's like a winning bet. I love to back that horse. the other stuff in the middle. And by the way, I'll caveat all this, by the way, by saying I do have a little bit of money like locked up in a pension, right? And you best believe that I've put all of it onto Bitcoin proxy stocks, because that's my little gambling pot. Because I don't even think when I get to 70 years old, that money's going to be there anymore. So maybe I scratch that itch a little bit and I play around with it. And hey, I've done pretty well out of it. But like, we do need to counter this crazy narrative that's growing and building, you know. So yeah, sorry, that was a bit long-winded, but that's my kind of overall view.
No, I think that's a great view. I think for anyone listening, what you need to assess is why do you have hope in Bitcoin? Like, why are you in Bitcoin at all? And I think if you like step back and you really clarify why Bitcoin, you want a better world, you want to save in a reliable monetary savings technology, you want something outside all these something outside of the system. You want all of these things that we talk about, that we support, something that you can hold. I think suddenly all of these treasury options that you can invest in or buy debt or whatever, like, they just begin to make very little sense. Unless you are literally just like, hey, I'm just going to gamble on this. Like, I think I could, you know, like whatever, like, you know, you got a pension or, you know, a retirement account. I think the problem is there's so much hype around it that people have convinced themselves, like consciously, that this is a Bitcoin play. It's not. It's a fiat play. And you need to decide why you're in Bitcoin. And if the answer is self-sovereignty, self-custody, outside of the system, money, all of these things, probably not for you, but again, the hype is loud. So that was a good riff, guys. We went a long time there, but hopefully people benefit from that. Okay, let's jump into a few bits of news. All right, so up first, we've got JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon. This guy's always saying something. He says the U.S. should stockpile weaponry, rare earths instead of Bitcoin, as though it's an either or. Rick, I'll let you take this one first. What do you think about Jamie Dimon? Just, he can't shut up about Bitcoin. He loves it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been consistently wrong about it for so long now. It's got beyond a joke that, you know, how he's still credible on this topic, I don't know. And I'm not sure many people pay that much attention to him. You know, it's scary though, isn't it? You know, the fiat warmonger sort of machine that they've built in the military industrial complex. And hey, look, there's a banker suggesting that we stockpile weapons, while I'm sure all of his friends that work at these companies are all rubbing their hands together saying, yes, please. So yeah, you know, despicable people. I don't have anything nice or positive to say about Jamie Dimon, if I'm completely honest with you. So yeah, and then stacking rare earths, I think, like, you know, we're back in that place again, aren't we, talking about gold versus Bitcoin, really. I like gold more than I like the dollar, because you can't print gold as easily as you can print the dollar. But gold isn't perfect, right? You can't move it around easily. You can't go melting it down to go and buy a carton of milk. It's cumbersome. And Bitcoin, I think, is just it's just the next evolution of money, right? We went from big stones to shells to agri beads and so on and so on. Everyone knows the story by now. And Bitcoin is that next evolution, because it has very similar properties to gold, but I can actually use it quite effectively, globally, instantly, all of those good things. So yeah, Jamie Dimon way off the mark, trying to raise some more funds for all his war criminal buddies and God knows what else. I think the sooner we're done with these people, the better. And you know what, just to link it back to the previous statement, is like, if we all start using Bitcoin as money and stop getting distracted by stocks and God knows what other proxies, then actually we get into a place where someone like Jamie Dimon's authority is completely gone. His influence disappears. And I'm sure most people would agree that there's probably better things we can spend money on to make the world a better place than just bombing the crap out of it a little bit more, right?
Yeah. And keep in mind, too, that it's not just his buddies that are part of the military industrial complex that make money. Who do you think, you know, finances, you know, these rare earth mining sites and, you know, stockpiling weapons to be able to fund the military for future engagements and that sort of thing. So Jamie Dimon has a lot to gain from this sort of narrative. And, you know, the place I do agree with him is that I don't want the U.S. stockpiling Bitcoin either, because it would be done with counterfeit money and purchased from all of you friendly listeners. But I, like, there's no credible military threat to the United States. Like, China relies on us economically. They haven't started a war in our lifetime. Russia is not a credible military threat. We've got two oceans protecting us. I mean, it's so silly. But like, I don't know if you guys saw this tweet from or Pete Hegseth, I guess, is the Department of Defense, head of Department of Defense for the Trump administration. And he was talking about how we need to like ramp up the military and blah, blah, blah. We're doing looking at a $1 trillion budget now. And I'm like, go figure, a military guy wants more military to fend off a threat that doesn't really exist, that they've concocted in their head, and that the narrative spun by the mainstream media is we need to be worried about this. Like, it's COVID all over again. It's just fear mongering. It's the same story over and over and over. I could go on. Tony, what do you think?
I mean, this guy exemplifies, you know, the degree of rot and corruption. You know, he's like the perfect example of what backs up the U.S. dollar. It's people like him. You know, I mean, do I care what Jeffrey Epstein's banker thinks about Bitcoin? Absolutely not. Do I understand why he's advocating for weapons, more killing, more crimes, more murders, more corruption? Of course, because it's his entire DNA. You know, these parasites have been living on this for God knows how long. Now that Bitcoin exists, it's casting a huge spotlight on, you know, what U.S. politics have always been. This is not new. This has been going on for many years. You're just like realizing it now, because now you have a viable alternative that shows you good versus bad, you know, and very, very clearly. And so these people should be completely ignored. I mean, they're the best advertising for people that value sovereignty, freedom, and just peace in general. You know, you want to get rid of these problems in the world? Cut off their source of funding. Bitcoin is money. It was created to format all of that garbage entirely and replace it by sound money that no one can manipulate or corrupt. So that is what the mission here is, the peaceful mission. No one's, you know, advocating to go to war with anyone. You just ignore the past, adopt the future, and everything will be fine.
Well said, Tony. I could hear you rail on the banks all day, man. Alrighty, up next, we've got just in, the IMF has raised red flags over Pakistan's Bitcoin mining plans. So to me, if the IMF raises a red flag, that sounds like a green light to continue doing what you're doing. Tony, I would love to hear your thoughts on Pakistan and what they're doing to establish
a Absolutely, man. This is beautiful news. First, it was El Salvador that gave them the finger. Now it's Pakistan that gave them another finger. And soon it will be another country and another country. And before you know it, these clowns, they fade into irrelevance. The thing is, now there is an alternative. So that alternative automatically neuters all of their power play. Because there is an option. Like, you know, if you don't like their terms or you don't want to be bullied, you know, by loan sharks, there's an option. You know, when they call you, you either hang up the phone or you don't pick up, because, you know, Bitcoin is here waiting for you, ready to give you anything that you want for free, peacefully. So I love that. I think more countries should be adopting what, you know, Pakistan is doing, what El Salvador is doing. That is the right path forward. And I'm genuinely optimistic that we will continue to hear these stories. And then before you know it, the IMF will be something people will study about in history books, like in not that long, like maybe in the 20, 30 years.
Yeah, major cognitive dissonance for me. It's funny. I don't want the United States buying Bitcoin. I think that has a lot more to do with, it has to do with the fact that it's theft and that they're using counterfeit money or, you know, money that they don't have to do so. I somewhat get excited when I see these smaller countries, less powerful nations that are looking to adopt strategic reserves, because I feel like it's maybe, and I know the U.S. is going to adopt Bitcoin in some capacity eventually. I mean, it's just game theory, but seeing some of these smaller countries, less powerful countries beginning to, you know, Panama, El Salvador, Pakistan, it's like maybe we can kind of get on a level playing field more quickly. And then when the bright orange future comes, there's not one country that's stacked, you know.
Well, Pakistan has nuclear weapons, if I understood correctly. So they're not that weak.
But I economically. I think short of, you know, like a spiritual sort of war or something over religion or something like that, I don't think anyone wants to use nuclear weapons, right? Like, I think I think nuclear weapons are the ultimate deterrent. It's like why you don't invade my home. It's because I've got 12 firearms sitting around, and you know, you kind of leave each other alone if you think that's the case. So again, I'm not pro strategic reserve anywhere, but for some reason I'm maybe more amenable to these sorts of countries doing that. Rick, what's your thought?
Yeah, well, I mean, as a Brit, my initial thought, I think we touched on this on a previous Bitcoin Banter, is that the UK sends quite a lot of development aid money to Pakistan. So kudos to Pakistan for taking that money and spending it on something sensible. you know, I mean, yeah, it's a crazy situation. But yeah, look, I think Tony hits the nail on the head here. It's interesting to see the IMF are going to continue to lose power here, right? Like as people adopt Bitcoin and they realize there's another option for them, their role in global finance will shrink. And there's nothing that's really going to stop that trend. So that's nice to see. I think there is another angle to maybe look at this, which is maybe slightly more interesting. I like to see the IMF getting told to back off. But in the same instance, I think if you look at Pakistan, they don't have a great energy grid, right? So there's probably 40 million people there without power at all. So, you know, maybe you could question, well, hang on, you know, you're going to divert a load of power to mining Bitcoin when there's people in real poverty. Like, maybe that's a problem. However, you know, even to sort of steel man myself there, you know, the counterpoint might be, well, look, if we're going to mine Bitcoin to then earn enough sound money so that we can raise our nation up so that we can get power to those 40 million. Hey, listen, I'm down in that. I love that plan, because you're going to have to change something to improve things. I've just always got that deep set distrust of politicians and nation states, and where does, if they do mine Bitcoin, where will it end up? You know, it's unlikely probably to end up in the hands of people who really need it, right? It's going to end up in the hands of politicians and authority figures. And maybe they'll do a Bukele and make a really great nation and raise everyone up. But I'm always skeptical. So, look, the take-home message, I think, for everyone and people in Pakistan, people in Britain, people everywhere, is that, look, the competition is really heating up. So your opportunity to get some for yourself, which is the thing you should be most focused on, right, instead of worrying about what your government's doing, is sorting yourself out first. Those days are shrinking pretty quickly now, so you know, you really need to get a wriggle on.
Yeah, I agree. I will. Hey, I'll add, Rick. So this isn't something I've dug deep into, but I know in like Africa, I think it's gridless. What they've done is they're like these, you know, small rural villages who maybe have access to like hydroelectric, but it's not economically feasible to bring electricity to that little town or small city or whatever. And so they bring Bitcoin mining because they've got a cheap source of energy there. And then they're able to power the town and basically load balance with Bitcoin mining. And so, again, I have no confidence in how government anywhere rolls this sort of thing out. But hypothetically, mm-hmm. there could be an opportunity that they bring power to 40 million people, or you know, some percentage of those people who there wasn't an economic case to be made to do so. But now they can, because they're Bitcoin mining cheaply with, you know, hydroelectric or solar or, you know, whatever. So time will tell. Again, not optimistic that the Bitcoin ends up in the hands of the citizens, or that it all works out perfectly because a bureaucratic machine is in charge, but something to maybe keep an eye on. Rick, I want you to take this next one, because I don't know if Tony and I probably are as privy to what's going on in the UK, but the Reform Party leader, Nigel Farage, who was in Las Vegas for the conference last week, is going to introduce a strategic Bitcoin reserve bill. We have been railing on your lovely country for quite some time. Just, it's like mistake after mistake. We're not going to adopt Bitcoin. I have no concept of this guy's chances of, bringing this to fruition or anything. Why don't you kind of fill us in and give us your thoughts as someone who's on the ground?
So, you know, the typical political system in the UK has two sides to it, right? Like in most places, right? My politics are maybe a little unique, right? I wouldn't consider myself necessarily left wing or right wing. For a long
you have
time,
politics? I didn't know you had politics at all.
Well, no, more of a dictatorship at the moment. But you know, I've always considered these two wings are basically, you know, they're two cheeks of the same ass, right? You don't get much of a choice, right? But to kind of lay it all out for people, typically Labour is your left-leaning party, and the Conservatives are your right-leaning party. and this is maybe up for debate, but, you know, people would argue that reform is slightly further right of the conservatives, right? And they've been doing well. They've been doing well on politics of, you know, we have, you know, I'm going to get close to getting cancelled here, but, you know, we have some immigration challenges, shall we say, in the UK that quite a lot of the local populations are maybe not over the moon about. Yeah, because, you know, there's some guys like coming over on dinghies and it's not, you know, it's not normally like families and kids. It's sort of fighting age men coming over. And the British taxpayer is currently spending a hell of a lot of money to put some of these people in hotels with three square meals a day and mobile phones and cash. And it's caused a little bit of, let's say, friction in society over here. So reform is very much pushing like maybe similar sort of style politics to Donald Trump, where he's saying, look, we're going to get rid of people, we're going to close the borders, all that sort of stuff. And so he is gaining a lot of popularity. The question about whether he'll actually win power, though, I think is still like a real outside bet, just because our politics is so entrenched with these two parties. And also the way the votes are counted and stuff, it's not just done on the total amount of votes. So he could win the popular vote and lose, you know, not become prime minister. So the chances are actually pretty slim. But anyway, get to the Bitcoin bit. I mean, listen, I could have told you this was going to happen 6 months ago because, you know, look, I have equal disdain for all politicians, by the way. If anyone in the comments thinks I'm like Labour or Tory or any of these people, no, I have equal disdain for them. And Nigel Farage is not spared from that because he's an absolute arse, just like the rest of them. The way you know what Nigel Farage is going to do next is just look at what Trump is doing today, because he just copies him, right? So it was inevitable Farage would come, start talking about Bitcoin and all this sort of carry on. He also wants to raise donations in it. So, you know, there's that angle as well. But look at what he said at Bitcoin 2025, right? He wants to, you know, it's not just Bitcoin, is it? It's crypto. Crypto this, crypto that, crypto the other. So but this is a guy who just really wants clicks. He wants relevance. I would imagine he, if you pressed him on Bitcoin, his understanding would be low. So, and again, like, you know, just zooming out, whether it was Nigel Farage or Keir Starmer or whoever, I don't really care what they're going to do. You know, I struggle a little bit, I've got to be honest, you know, with people who are desperate to see their government adopt a Bitcoin reserve strategy. I understand where they're coming from because they see their country failing, getting into bad shape, and they think maybe we can turn things around. But I think the rot in our political system means that, you know, man, they are going to keep stealing your wealth whichever way. And if that means printing money to buy Bitcoin so that then they have the Bitcoin and you don't, man, they're going to do that. Like, for my entire life, politicians have just stolen. Just that's what they do. That's their prerogative. So look, I'm never going to be able to control this, but I would love to see actually people front run their government and get more excited about their own stack than what their government might do. And I'd rather almost see like a little bit of, not fear, but like a little bit of anxiety that, oh shit, if the government starts buying Bitcoin, then I'm really late to the party. So I know there's existing hodlers that want to see it, but if it were up to me, and obviously no one can affect this, I'd love to see, you know, the people of our country and all around the world charge at Bitcoin before these governments. So, you know, it's not good. It's not bad news to me. It's just news. I don't have a strong opinion about it. But yeah, it's another clear signal that you need to get a move on and get your own stack.
Yeah, Rick, I've never heard you handle a topic more delicately than you just did immigration. Tony, what do you think about the UK? Maybe possibly someone's talking about a Bitcoin strategic reserve.
Well, I mean, nothing much more to add than what Rick said, except that I don't know whether you like him or not, but apparently Andrew Tate and all his influence is backing up Nigel Farage on his political campaign. So I don't know how much, you know, weight that has, but, you know, Tate has a pretty large influence, so you can't just dismiss it. The UK needs a miracle to take it out of the mess that it's in now, and maybe these guys somehow, you know, get it going in the right direction. But ultimately, you cannot fix the system from within the system. All politicians must be castrated, all of them, no matter where they come from. And the only way you're going to do that and render them back to their administrative roles, because that's all they're supposed to be doing, is by removing the power of money from every single one of them. And that only happens with Bitcoin. There's no other play here. And so, yeah, you're right. They're going to try everything under the sun to try to manipulate their way, steal their way, you know, deceive their way into remaining relevant. But as long as more people adopt Bitcoin, use it as money, hold it in self-custody, the less power these guys have. And that power diminishes really quickly because we just outnumber them. There's 8 billion people versus a handful of these crooks. So it doesn't take much except for awareness and education and a willingness to actually level up your life and live in a free world versus this shithole that we're in, all of us globally.
Yeah. I didn't know about Andrew Tate backing him. It'd be funny to see the like the chart, the voting charts. It's going to be like all the 18-year-old heterosexual men, like, all go for Nigel, and then like
all the G's.
And then all the G's, and then everyone else is like, you know, scattered however they are. Alrighty, last one up we've got. At the Bitcoin conference, Justin Sun donated the $6 million taped banana to Ross Ulbricht at a luncheon. And if this doesn't scream fiat, I don't know what does. I think, did we talk about the banana artwork on a banter, or did we just talk offline and laugh at it? We did talk about it. Yeah. So anyway, it's made its way to a new owner, and poor Ross probably has not a damn clue in the world what he's going to do with this taped banana. Tony, just...
Man, I knew we had mental problems in the world, but this one just hit a Guinness World Record. $6 million for a banana that's taped to what? A piece of cardboard?
Well, it used to be taped to a wall, and that was when Yeah, that was the original, and now it's taped to, it looks like a piece of paper.
Well, this must be like a fake banana, because the original, apparently he ate it. There's apparently some video or picture of him eating the original banana, so this can't be worth the $6 million.
Oh, he has like rights to this, like, I don't know, some sort of copyright to tape bananas on walls or something, I think. So like,
do you have any idea how fucking retarded you have to be to price a banana at $6 million, tape to a piece of garbage and sell it? And worse, have somebody actually pay $6 million for it?
Yeah, no, I don't know how.
what are the words that you can use to describe this or the people involved in this?
I think you hit the nail on the head, Tony. Rick, I think you're muted.
Rick's, I was going to say, Tony, the word you're looking for is genius, right? Like, you're missing something here. Like, I'll come clean. I never mentioned it before, but it was actually me who came up with the banana. So, you know, after I lost all my Bitcoin, right, completely wrecked by that hacker, I had to get my wits about me. I said, where can I find me an idiot? Where can I find me someone really, really dumb where, you know, if I make some high art and tape it to the wall, they'll actually give me money for it? And lo and behold, I just went through a list of, like, who's launched some shit coins, right? And I stumbled across his name, Justin Sun. I was like, he launched Tron, right? This guy is definitely out of his mind. And we sold him a banana for $6 million. But, like, I mean, listen, I don't even know what to say about this. You know, you're looking for top signals everywhere, right? We've had cows jumping around at Bitcoin conferences, the stablecoin conference, and now we've got $6 million bananas. I mean, you know, the best thing Ross could have done with that banana is ripped off the wall and choked him with it for all the people that he's got wrecked with his stupid shitcoin, right? I don't have anything else to say about that. What a ridiculous situation.
Yeah, no, Rick, I think that's the comment that probably got you canceled. I think if you guys see Matthew Crater was talking about spitting on Peter Schiff or something, and everyone's up in arms.
That wasn't cool, by the way. That, like, I've got to say, like, man, don't spit on people. What's wrong with you? Like, how were you raised, right? Like, if I spat on someone, my mom would clip me around the ear and say, what the hell are you doing, right? That's not the way to behave.
No, I completely agree. By the way, Tony, I'm betting if Justin Sun didn't eat this banana originally, and this is the same, it's probably an American banana grown like in a greenhouse with lots of preservatives.
It doesn't rot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like our hamburgers and our potato chips and everything else. Like, it's just, you know, it lasts
timeless.
Forever.
It's
gonna last longer than Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, for everyone listening, stick around for another minute. We've got got a little bit about the company. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And gents, always a pleasure chatting with you. We'll catch up next time.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Bye, everyone. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.